Welcome to The Watching Dead, the officially unofficial podcast for The Walking Dead on AMC. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're doing our Season 7 wrap-up. It's the full season. It's over. We've seen it all.
7 seasons we've been wrapping this up. Still, it persists.
Well, the problem is we're not the ones running it, so we can't wrap it up. I wish we could. I wish we could, desperately. But I don't know how much you really want to say. I feel like we've said a lot over this season about, you know, the trajectory of the show and stuff, and I have like a good-sized email.
Mike, because you said something that I went along with on the podcast, but I guess I didn't really feel it. Do you really think that the all-out, the war will last all season, all 16 episodes? Because
there are two questions here. Do I think it will be over by the end of the season?
Uh-huh.
Or do I think that every episode will have all-out war in it?
Well,
the
no.
answer to both of those, the answer to the first one is yes. I think it'll last all season 8.
It will take all 16 episodes to tell the tale.
But I do not think they will have war as part of every episode.
Man,
I think we're going to have a lot of side episodes and bullshit.
Man, I guess I was maybe I'm being naive or stupid, but I was thinking that there's no way once the war has been declared that you could draw it out more than 8 episodes.
Man, that seems to be their one talent on this show.
Because that's the thing, like, what can you cut to? Like literally a garbage person intro story, like backstory, or what's going on with Heath for 3 episodes. But I just feel like that
got a Gregory centric episode.
But you know what I'm saying, like that. I guess they did the same thing when they went away mid season, or they, with the season 3 finale, they didn't do away the governor, and then they came back with a 3 episode proto governor arc. So there's precedent for it, but I just feel like when you're facing an existential threat like the Saviors, that any cutting away that you might feel inclined to do would be exacerbated by the audience's exasperation with the whole thing.
You would think so.
Like, it's one thing if you're just bumblefucking through the wilderness trying to get to someplace so Eugene can hack a computer. But when you're actually fighting a war with a worthy, overpowered opponent, what's your appetite going to be for 3 episodes of Jadis?
Zero. My appetite is zero for any episodes of Jadis.
I guess I'm too naive because I just feel like that they know that they can't do that.
I would have said that about so many things in this show. Like, if you had given me the scripts for these episodes ahead of time and said, this is what the writers plan to do, I would have said, no, they don't. They don't plan on any of this.
They love us.
But we've seen time and time again, they have failed to move the story along in a reasonable fashion.
Well, I guess I should. That's the problem, is I just can't foresee. I can't see what arcs. I mean, yeah, I guess I can. I can. I just think like they're just dumb. They'll know they're dumb.
Yeah, but they do dumb arcs. They have no problem with dumb arcs.
All right. Well, yeah. So that's the one thing I wanted to kind of.
Okay.
After we got a few days away from it, like, is that something you really believe? It sounds like you really believe it. All 16 episodes.
All 16.
Damn. Okay.
Why don't we do feedback? Because I know there's going to be a lot of stuff to talk about and expound on in there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let the listeners prompt us for most of our discussion.
Give the people what they want.
Yeah. And I apologize ahead of time. Somehow, between the episode airing and us recording our podcast and us recording this, which we are recording days and days early, like 5 days early. Somehow we got like 100 emails, and I had to cut brutal cuts. Like, there are people who sent in 4-page emails.
That's an unusual volume. That's an unusual volume of mail for what we've been like, right?
Yeah.
Like, so it's like this last season brought everybody's opinionated about it in a way they weren't like throughout the run.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, that does tend to happen. Like, we get a lot of feedback on the premiere and the finales. But I think it was a little bit more than usual and in such a narrow span of time.
Right.
And we've been just absolutely swamped this week getting ready for a little hiatus. So I had to make some brutal cuts. I didn't want this thing to go on 2 hours because we don't have time for that.
Right.
So if your email got cut, I'm sorry. We'll try to do better in the future. Which is to say we won't be able to because there are still too many emails coming in. Ben T from the UK says, my season rant. I've always stuck with this show and will continue to do so as it's a part of me, but damn, this season has been so poor for the characters we love. Daryl and Carol have had nothing to do this season and seen no development. Carl and Rick, again, have had little screen time, it feels like. My point is, do you think we will ever get back to the early seasons where we would see our beloved characters every week rather than this gimple bullshit of showing them 1 week and then you won't see them again for a couple?
I mean, maybe if we ever get a change, it's because we as fans really bitch about it online.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I do think that it might be a minute before they try some of the bullshit cliffhanger stuff they did because they got such a blowback against it.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems to be like the community thing. To like a lot of people are starting to say like the single focus, like bottle episode segments and every, especially since I do think it seems like it's a lot of like probably budgetary, a way to cut costs on actors like and you know, split this thing up. I don't know. Like, this show still makes too much money to be doing that stuff that pisses off its core audience, and especially as that audience gets smaller and smaller, you know, like this thing premiered to 17 million some people. By the end, around 10 million were watching. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big erosion. Now, also the premiere was a pretty big high watermark too, because a lot of people that hadn't been watched kind of wanted to see that iconic moment. I don't know. I do feel like that the salvation comes from us continually voicing our opinion of how we kind of want better.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think they're not as responsive as you'd want, but they are a bit responsive. They do read the fan community stuff, and they are sensitive to that pressure, just not nearly as much as you want them to be.
Right. I also feel like maybe they're fighting a bit of an uphill battle as far as giving some of these characters that you know and love a lot of screen time, because the plot has been taking them in a direction where the world is getting bigger and bigger. And it's giving each character less time to really develop and to be focused on. And I'm not saying they're doing a great, like they're doing their damnedest and it's working and everything, but I just don't think they're being done any favors by the ever-expanding world of The Walking Dead.
Well, you know, and I also want to push back a little bit because they're saying, like, you know, Carol and Daryl, there's no development.
Yeah, I don't know if I totally agree there.
I think there's but I do. There is something weirdly missing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of shit happened to Daryl, but did it really change him? And Carol changed. She had a material change, which is essentially back to where she was at the beginning.
Yeah.
But what exact things caused those to happen? Mm-hmm. That's the great, like, what pulled her out of the cabin? What pushed Morgan into the cabin? What got Morgan back out of the cabin?
Mm-hmm.
Those things are all got like they had interesting kind of little arcs. The problem is they're just kind of vibrating back and forth between two positions, or things are happening to them, but it's not changing their core character because, you know, they have Daryl as this archetype that he's got to be, and he can't get out of that lane.
Yeah.
You know, like having Daryl be just like fall apart and, you know, want to do nothing but sleep all day for months on end because he's too traumatized and depressed from being a tortured captive. Nobody wants to see that.
No.
So they're just not going to do it. And that's, I guess that's why it's like, it's not that things aren't happening and characters aren't changing. It's just weird and poorly developed.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're done with a character, just kill him, you know? So the fans aren't going to complain. When are we going to see Daryl again?
Unload a whole bunch more backstory and then kill him.
Yeah. I do agree that Carl and Rick felt very underserviced this season, especially Carl. Rick had, you know, a little bit of interaction with Negan, so we got something from him. But Carl was
this,
absent.
Especially this half season. But but Carl got a lot of love the previous half season.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I guess I'm talking mostly about the half
season. And honestly, like, I thought it's also kind of a weird move to split Enid off from Carl, because they kind of were allowed to go around as a unit of, like, you know, the young post-apocalyptic and restless. But when she moved to the hilltop and became like instantly this well-adjusted, you know, pillar of the community. Their little outcast rebels routine just fell apart.
Yeah. Jesse K from South Carolina says, I've been watching the show and listening to your coverage since season three or so, and I must say I am increasingly astounded at how ridiculous the writing is. The garbage people were literal and figurative trash, and they could have set up the battle much better than the way they did. I felt like there was no real impact at the end of the episode, and it all felt like wasted time.
Mm-hmm.
This being said, I feel like the show has started to slightly embrace some of the absurdities, such as King Ezekiel's riding over the hill like Gandalf lifting the siege of Helm's Deep.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this, I feel like it has thankfully regained some of the fun in covering it. Yeah, I think at some point we have met The Walking Dead halfway.
Yep.
It has embraced its silly side a slight bit more. We have also done the same. And, you know, we don't ignore the things that are absolutely stupid about it. But I feel like we don't dwell on the things nearly as much as we could. We're not there to just nitpick it to death.
Plus, I realize, like, I sometimes, like, as I'm in mid-rant, I'm like, oh, this is, like, the 10th rant you've done.
Yeah.
Like, this is dumb. So, but I totally agree that I'm just judging by the live watches, I've had way more fun this mm-hmm. season than I did last season. Because some of those live watches were just really dreary affairs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's enough crazy stuff or weird stuff or funny stuff that we were able to kind of keep it light and airy and moving the whole time. So my satisfaction as a podcaster on The Walking Dead is significantly up, even as the show is probably a couple even notches further falling.
Yeah, the next email, Katrina from Ireland, kind of demonstrates the lack of direction, I guess, that this show is really picking. And how that can affect the fans. She says, this show is like the mafia. Just when you think you're out, they drag you back in. I've agreed with your overall consensus this season. It's been incredibly uneven. Sing Me a Song and Heart Still Beating being two of my highlights, with Swear being possibly the worst hour of television I've ever seen. She says, I've watched the entirety of Lost and RuPaul's Drag Race. Of course, the new characters and locations, I thought the kingdom was done well. Oceanside was terrible, and the Romulans, sorry, trash people, were freaking bizarre. I found JDM's portrayal of Negan satisfying in small doses. A little really does go a long way. But that's all beside the point. I settled down tonight to watch the season finale, confident in the knowledge that if they went into any bullshit nonsense about Sasha being a hero, I was done with this show. And so they did, topped off with a lovely dose of how much in love she was with Abraham. And I was done. I thought the best thing that could happen for me, for the show, would be for Rick to get the bat and wake up in his shower. And then they did it. They hit her with a motherfucking tiger, and it was amazing. The absolute highlight of the season, and possibly any season for me. I know it's fickle, but damn, any show that can have the main character being saved by both the reanimated corpse of one of his friends and a tiger in the space of 10 minutes is going to have my loyalty, at least for another season.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to see things on The Walking Dead on any other television show.
It's true. But why don't they just take the parts that all of the fans go, yes, that's fucking awesome, and make that the show? Do away with the rest of the bullshit that they're not good at.
That'd be expensive.
It would be.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like they've got the old saw about things. You can have things done quick, cheap, or good, pick two.
Uh-huh.
And they're just going cheap and quick every single time. Can we do this faster? Can we do it cheaper? Can we do it faster? Can we do it cheaper?
Yeah.
And they were more than able and willing to sacrifice the good quality.
Yep. And we've talked about that at length throughout the season. So I'm going to move on to Jeff, who says, does anyone really care if Heath comes back? I honestly forgot he was on the show aside from the one Tara episode and when you guys mentioned it on your 716 recap. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what his purpose in the story is at this point, and the answer to that is probably no. I don't care at this point. They would have to do something to make me care.
And
which
what
is going to require a Heath episode, which I'm not going to care about.
I was
going to
say, what would that... That's the thing. What would that even look like?
Yeah.
It's a chicken and egg process where you just hate fucking eggs.
Right.
Like, to get the chicken, you got to have the egg, but I don't care enough about the chicken to get the egg, so fuck them both.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you. Like, Heath's last episode was a fucking fiasco. It was the all-female Desert Island episode with a bunch of... It was the fucking...
The bridge.
Bridge with the dump trucks going ass to ass for no reason.
Yep.
The zombies under a pile of sand, the triple P, like... I'm getting angry just thinking about them explaining all that and paying it off.
Yeah, I guarantee we'll see it, though. That's another thread that they could drag out season 8 with.
Yeah, like if I, you know, that's the thing. My advice to Gimp would be like, just let Heath go.
Yeah.
Let him go.
Forget about him.
He's gone. He doesn't need to come back. Like, sometimes it happens in shows. Like, Star Trek Next Generation set up this huge arc that was going to involve these fucking aliens that were hosted inside Federation officers, and they had little net gills, and there's a distress signal sent out to deep space, and you're thinking, oh my god, when this thing boils over, and you know what? Dropped it like a hot potato because it got fixated on the Borg and they never looked back.
Yeah.
Let Heath go. Let Heath be the neck-breathing aliens from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Let him be the sacrificial Heath.
Let him be free and happy in PPP land.
Yeah.
I don't need... Like, you've got so many underserved characters you need to redeem. Let Heath go. He escaped.
It's true. All right, Matt says, just some quick thoughts on this pretty piss-poor season. But great season of podcast, he says. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm with you on pretty much everything. So much of Seven was contrived and uninteresting filler. So I'll try not to get into a bitch fest, as my practice was to listen to the opener of your cast on Tuesday. And if you hated the episode, listen to the cast and ignore the episode. If you didn't totally pan the episode, I'd watch the episode before the cast.
Boy, you haven't watched very many episodes, have you?
No, like maybe 2-3 out of last season. Or the half season. So basically on a critical level, very little I enjoyed the season, but I didn't hate the Dwight arc. What did you guys think? In short, I think the actor does a pretty decent and subtle job of navigating the writer's wacky directional changes. And on that note, also, I didn't hate the writing. Remember the bit where Dwight approaches Eugene thinking he may have an ally? Great subtle scene. And yes, Sherry's stair smoking bits were a little heavy-handed and overplayed, but at least we had scenes like these pre-deaths or before the deaths of either of these characters. Overall, I was engaged by Dwight's development, thought it was the most interesting plot of the season. And yes, I know this is a standard, wasn't bored when he was on screen.
Well, he does have the interesting, you know, Christian Bale playing Jesus playing Dwight thing going on.
Oh, he's got a look, yeah.
But here's my problem that I think I first articulated. The difference between... comic book Dwight and Walking Dead Dwight. In comic book, you know, he never ran into Rick's group and betrayed them outside the presence of Negan when he couldn't have. So we are already predisposed to think of him as a feckless jackass.
Uh-huh.
Second, he was our only window into what was going on in Savior's complex in life, because Daryl hadn't been abducted and Eugene hadn't been. Whereas here we already have multiple windows into the Savior's life. Like, fucking Negan moves in with Alexandria for like a 2-episode stretch. Daryl was being tortured there for a 2-episode stretch. Eugene moved in for it. So it's like the fascination and mystique of that was just completely gone.
Yeah.
So I felt like Dwight was largely redundant in his own damn plotline, because there was already all the things we needed Dwight for in the comic books. We got through other, you know, through other remixes and redundancies. So I don't know. I'm surprised to hear you say that, because I thought his stuff with Sherry was particularly excruciating.
Yeah.
And
there was some pretty bad stuff.
And
there.
It's just very weirdly directed, because I went back and watched the Easy Street segment, because I thought I'd be talking about. I did this interview with this guy who on First Renfield or Reinfield on First Fridays. He's got this show. He's a British gentleman. He's got his podcast where he's got these Friday 15s or 15-minute segments where he just talks to people. And I talked to him, and I thought we were going to talk about the Easy Street music video, so I went back and watched it, and I'm like, Dwight looked really happy and content with his Easy Street existence.
Yeah.
Like, watching Who's the Boss and eating his bowls of cereal and eating his badass sandwiches in direct relation to Daryl's, and then Like, that was the choice of the director to show, like, hey, we want you to be maximum happy to contrast the maximum sadness that Daryl is experiencing. And that's fine, except for when you need to turn to script and have Dwight say, the only reason I ever did those things, escaped with their life, and, like, I don't buy that, man. I think you really got into this.
Yeah.
And maybe when your ex-wife was, like, super bummed out about it, it made you give you pause, but, like, you did enjoy it. You did. There's some selfish creature comforts that they had here. And that's another instance of where I think they fucked up his arc. Like,
well, I can't tell what's intentional and what isn't there.
Because, that's again, the director, no one might have told the director, like, hey, later on we're going to, and they might not even known that yet. Because I think if you had shown him as a man who's, even though he has everything, he's just as miserable as Daryl, that would dovetail very nicely into the rest of the story they wanted to do. But, like, it's so fucking siloed up, and one reaction has no relation to the reaction they're going to have, and this conversation doesn't have any relation to the course this character's on. It does two things: breaks immersion and it stops you from caring about characters.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Barry C. from the UK. He wants to set me straight about the Andrew Lincoln not doing 12 seasons of The Walking Dead theory. Because I seem to think he's a megastar. I don't know that I ever said megastar. I said he's a movie star.
You said something like that. I remember, like, is he really?
Okay. A megastar. He's no Tom Cruise. I'll give you that.
Sure.
He says, he may seem like a megastar to you who's too big and are classically trained to keep doing this show for years. But as a Brit, I can tell you this is the biggest thing he's ever done by a mile. And while I do not know his motivations, leaving it is probably harder than you think. He is not a megastar here. He is more of a cult figure, best known for a bit part on Love Actually, and some hardcore fans know him as Egg on a cult show called This Life, which was about young lawyers sharing a house. I know Americans may view British actors as being very highbrow and maybe elitist, but we Brits really do view the big American shows and movies as the big leagues. Lincoln may want to leave, but I assure you this is probably a much bigger deal for him than you realize.
Well, but that's the thing. Like, there's a long, proud history of actor. Like, David Duchovny is not a fucking megastar, but he got sick and tired of doing the goddamn X-Files. And he's never been anything. He's never been anything bigger.
Yeah, you don't have to be a huge star to get sick of your job.
To be like, you know what? I'm just tired of this shit.
Right.
And I'm tired of this script, and I'm tired of getting in swamp ass and goddamn Georgia in the middle of the summer. These disgusting fucking zombies and having to talk like a mouth breathing idiot,
covered in blood.
Yeah, like he talks like, even when he's like putting a positive spin on it, The Walking Dead is a pretty brutal shoot.
Yeah.
And sure. I think
and he
that,
could get just tired of the criticism of the show itself, you know?
Yeah, because he's got, you know, he understands, and the constant, like, he's on this constant circuit grind and convention grind, and at some point he's like, you know, he's going to have multiple millions of dollars and this big part of his career that's spanned 10 years now, and he can even go on to do indie stuff or just, I mean, I don't know. Like, let's just say it's unprecedented for actors to be hammered, nailed down for these 10, 12-year careers.
Right.
Let alone a 20-year career.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you kind of, I don't want to say defeated your own argument here, Barry, but I think, you know, as Americans take a look at British actors, so Rick clearly is the best thing on this show, right? Like, he is one of the best actors
show. But honestly, a lot of these actors are really good. Like, Lenny James, you're going to say.
Yeah,
like,
Lenny James is also fantastic.
Guerrera is, like, I don't think that... I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're in the top six people on this show are kind of, you know, it's a first among peers situation.
Right, but he's right up there at the top. And
yes,
I think his cachet as the star of the biggest television show in history, almost, and the fact that he's a Brit, like you said, there's this mystique around them as actors here in America.
Yep,
we're Anglophiles. I think that could push him to, you know, if he were to quit this show, could probably push him pretty far in his career if he wanted to.
Could be, yeah.
Because, like, yeah, the show is falling apart and is not great, but it's not Andrew Lincoln's fault.
No.
And Andrew Lincoln is, if anything, a bright spot in this show. So
yes. He could leave without dishonor.
Yeah.
And he's still got lots of leading men. I mean, he with the shooting spanning two parts of a year and it being kind of long and grueling, like, I bet it does very hard to break away and do anything else. And, you know, he still got some leading man years in him if he wanted to try to do that even in the indie circuit. So,
and I could see, like, a studio saying, look, Andrew Lincoln has, what, 17 million fans now?
Right.
Let's get him in our movie because that's a selling point.
If he fails a couple times, sci-fi will be there. Like, it's like...
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the career that you can fail down a dozen times and still have someone wanting to sign you because, like, it's just how low of a prestige. And then you've got the con circuit waiting to take as the undertaker for your career.
Yep.
Like, I'll just do that 4, 5, 6 dozen times a year and pay the bills.
And by that time, he's got $10 million in the bank and he's 60 years old. And
yeah. He lives in a country that's got universal health care. What the fuck does he care?
Right. All right, Caitlin T. has some over-under questions for us. Over-under on, I guess, okay, the aftermath of the fight at Alexandria is delayed at least the first two episodes. Are we going, like, episode number over-under?
What was that?
The aftermath of the fight at Alexandria is delayed at least the first two episodes.
Delayed. So I guess, so they're going to go off into a Jadis pre-arc.
Right, in a Heath hole.
Or a Heath hole.
Mm-hmm. Or a Gregory.
I actually, man, this might be my naive because they don't have a cliffhanger.
Right.
There's no sense of urgency. But I still think that they're going to come back to some kind of fallout of the all-out war. Like, it'll either be, like, if it's a trash people centric arc, it's going to be Rick's revenge on the trash people on way to destroy the saviors. And the other thing is...
Okay.
I also think that the saviors are all whipped up too. So there's going to be, you know, they got to answer for that too. Like, Negan's got a few hundred people all ready to go whip some ass.
Yeah.
If the three episodes go by and Alexandria is unscathed, I'm going to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I get it. It's a couple hour drive there, but come on, Negan.
Yeah, she's saying, I think we'll probably get the Garbage People backstory and PPP Revisited. Maybe a Carol Morgan episode with some moralizing over their role in the upcoming war. That could be a possibility. Also thinking episode 3 will be a pre-fight flashback to show us more of what happened with Gregory and the Saviors. Curious about how not excited you are to see how they screw this up. Pretty not excited.
Yeah.
Pretty not excited. Mike from Tampa says, Season 7 was a 5 out of 10 in my book. There are 5 episodes this season that I considered good or above in ratings. Those numbers don't check out.
Is he talking about season for the 16 episodes or last 8? Okay, 16, I think, 5, that sounds about right.
That'd be a 5 out of 16, not a 5 out of 10, come on.
Oh.
I personally think that Andrew Lincoln's acting has been great this season, but I think JDM's acting is what really carried the season. Even with some obvious character flaws of Negan, every time he was on screen, I wound up laughing. His comedic relief is probably the only thing that kept me watching this season. Overall, the season was meh. I couldn't even say that it was a good season. For me, meh is between good and bad, right in the middle. I think this was the last episode I will watch on a weekly basis. I will probably move to watching and binging, waiting and binging seasons. For a 16-episode season to only have 5 to 7 episodes that were good or better, it's not what I'm looking for in entertainment. How do you feel about JDM after seeing him for a full season?
I like him. I wish that he, in my mind, Negan would be best if 50% of the time he was in a Negan gear and 25% of the time he was in, like, even a more unhinged, like, oh, you forgot I was the bad guy kind of gear because of the other gear. And then maybe 25% he's, like, desperate, cornered animal Negan.
Yeah.
Because those are the times, like, the and what it is now is I feel like it's an 80-10-10 split. And that is not interest. That's not as interesting. I thought that there's a couple. I want to use the word flab in his performance. Like when he, like there was nothing when he was just doing random generic Neganisms because there wasn't anything to be super happy or super angry about. And he just would lean into those hydraulic, come on, Rick, what are you do? Kind of like almost Dr. Phil type performances. I thought it was silly and hammy and, like I said, flabby. But then, you know, when he's trying to break Sasha here or when he's afraid for his life, Or like oh, I thought in the last half season where Rosita shot him with and the bullet caught the bat. That's great Negan. That's yeah. really magnetic, and I want to watch more of that type of Negan.
Right.
So, and I think the ultimate solution is just cut. You don't need to go 50. What you need to do is take about 40% of that 80% and just cut it, throw it away. Mm-hmm. Because less Negan is better as better as well.
Yeah, I always found myself not necessarily in his over performances, being caught up in those, but in the quieter moments with Negan, those were some of the most impactful scenes for me.
Right.
Those are the moments where I sat there and kind of really just watched what was happening, as opposed to thinking, "Oh man, this is stupid," or being excited about the action or whatever.
Right.
He really brought something to this season that I can't really see anybody else pulling off.
He does have that range of vulnerability and ferocity and intelligence, and like it's the same thing that made the comedian such an interesting character in The Watchmen.
Right.
That he is really interesting to watch, but I don't think with the writers being what they are and some of the crew, I don't know. I think less of him is going to be more.
Yeah. Gabe actually had some stuff about this, about your prediction that the war is going to be over in half a season is totally ridiculous to him, because of all the things that we could go into, the hanging chads of plot here. But we kind of talked about that, so
okay.
I'll move on. Ian D has a question. Why isn't there a competing zombie drama on television? I know there's Z Nation, but that isn't what I mean. That's too campy. He's talking about a serious drama. Imagine if HBO or Netflix or whoever threw some cash at a competing, at competent showrunners and made a show about the zombie apocalypse. They wouldn't have to worry about following the comics because it would be a new IP. They would be able to satisfy the audience bloodlust more fully without having to worry about network censors. Not that I'd want the characters to curse like Jason Mewes, but it would be more realistic if someone could say fuck while a zombie was eating their guts right in front of them. Like many others, I thought this season was subpar. Maybe some serious competition in the zombie drama genre would make AMC get serious about this show back at, back in its early days. I don't know. I think it would be a tough barrier to entry. I think it would be pretty high here because I'm not sure how you replicate the success of The Walking Dead.
Especially since it'd be kind of like if, you know, in the mid-60s saying, we need another Star Trek.
Yeah.
Like, it is, because there isn't,
that's how you get Battlestar
Galactica. There isn't a lot of original IP. Like, you know, you're not talking about, like, what do you mean by another Star Trek? Do you need another show set about space? Or should it be utopian, aspirational? Should it, you know, like what should it be, on a starship? Should it be on a starbike? Like, that's tough because there is another competition to The Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, and it's even worse.
about that iZombie show? There are several zombie shows. They don't quite deal with
they're
the
not the same
zombies
like
the same
a serious
manner.
Look at long-term post-apocalyptic survival, which was why that was the cool thing about The Walking Dead. It wasn't like, oh god, shit just broke down, go to a mall. Oh god, shit went down, go to a farmhouse. Oh shit, things broke down, try to get out of London lot.
It wasn't just a slice, it was the whole thing.
It was
right?
Yes, it's yeah. this is a continuing arc about a survivor who's going to see it all, see the fall, the recovery, the fall, the bottom, the recovery, and then the flourishing. That was always the potential. There's not a lot of that. I mean, if you're HBO, you'd have to go and either find another like IP. There's definitely ones I think would be interesting. Like, do you remember that Dust novel?
Yeah,
about the sentient zombies. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some unique and interesting ideas out there that could probably be a basis, but it wouldn't be exactly the same thing.
Yeah. I still think World War Z could make a really good TV show. Like
a HBO miniseries or a Netflix miniseries.
Yeah, I mean, it would definitely be abbreviated. Maybe like a British drama, you know? Mm-hmm. Cause you could take like those vignettes and do one each episode, the chapters. And I think it would work out really, really well. But, I don't know if that well has been poisoned by the movie.
Right.
Because that was shit.
Only that, but the other thing I'm constantly worried about is what is the civilization's appetite for zombies?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's I think it's inarguably peaked.
Yeah.
Like, we're definitely on the depth, but, like, how much will the floodwaters recede before people will, you know, you get a base state of, like, people that are always into zombies. I don't know, because we certainly went zombie fucking crazy in the last decade.
We did. Yeah, video games, movies, TV, everything.
Yep.
But good luck to anybody who tries it. I think it's going to be a tough road to travel. Sid in Montana has some criticism. Says, I think your podcast suffers from a sense of indignation that the storytelling is not flawless. Not everything can be there was a preamble to this, but I cut it. Sorry, Sid. Not everything can be Breaking Bad, and while I agree this season has not been good, I think the aggressive nature of the criticism on the podcast espouses is a bit off the mark. In the last episode of the podcast, it was literally claimed that a flashback that we had not originally seen between Sasha and Abraham was a cop-out device. It's a story. It's fiction. The writers can do as they wish to give context. It just gets to be a bit much when you go off on the 10th tirade on the lack of realism, that it seems like all you're saying is, how dare my entertainment not be flawless? I think you guys pick apart stuff that just isn't worth it and listen to the continuous umbrage / exasperation that gets old fast. You're much better when you're having fun with it than being mad at it. That last line I certainly agree with.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy necessarily ripping into it mm-hmm. as often as we have to.
Yeah, and I'm not going to, because I feel like I already defended all the points he assailed me from. Like, I don't think you dismissed the actual argument, which is, okay, something doesn't have to be perfect, but this is the number one show on cable television.
Mm-hmm.
Is it wrong to expect it to occasionally generate an Emmy-worthy performance?
Uh-huh.
Like, and if you think, well, it's this fucking zombie show, I say, what about Game of Thrones? It's a fucking sword and sandal dragon epic.
Yeah.
Like, this is the low expectations I'm talking about. No, it doesn't have to be perfect. Like, I mean, it doesn't, like Fargo is a great example of a very good show that has a couple of big flaws and a couple of minor flaws, but it's still a very, very good television and takes both itself and the viewer seriously. I don't think Walking Dead does. And yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, when we cover other shows, you don't see us being nearly as negative. And it's not because we have some bias or hatred for The Walking Dead in particular. Right. It's just because it often warrants that negativity.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, in other shows, we also don't overly congratulate them.
Right.
When they do something excellent, yes, we're all about it. And we talk about how great it is. But we also critique other shows, you know, right. and we do so with the same, I guess, the same expectations that we come into any show that purports to be a serious drama. Right. And that's what The Walking Dead has always said it was. And, you know, like I said earlier, if they picked a lane and they stuck to it, and at this point, I don't think that lane could be serious drama for The Walking Dead. I think it needs to be fun action zombie show. We wouldn't be nearly as hard on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that's the nature of the show, but it is a concern. Like, I don't want to just get on a podcast and shit on something week after week after
No,
week.
You're right. And we've, you know, consistently we get feedback to where if we did do that, it was just a stream of negativity, I don't think people would tune in. And that's the thing. Like, if we can't have fun with it, and we can't have some kind of enjoyment and either laugh or take pleasure from it, it's time to stop doing the podcast.
Yeah.
I don't think we got there, But you know, like I said, I guess that's the only thing I can say is, like, I don't understand the low expectations, because
mm-hmm.
like, this argument is advanced on Reddit. Oh, you just, you know, the show can't be perfect. I'm not. No one's expecting perfect.
No.
Best shows in television are rarely perfect. But, I'm talking about one or two or three missteps a season, not one or two or three missteps an episode, which is what Walking Dead increasingly is averaging.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a recent phenomenon, because even as back far as like season 3 and 4, you'd have a brain scratcher here and there, and you'd have a turd of an episode, but you know, mm-hmm. 5 out of 8 individual episodes were good, you know, like you know, B- or higher type episodes. That just hasn't been true of recent seasons.
Yeah, but I don't know if I guess at any point if we ever feel that we're being too negative on the show. That's when it would be time to, you know, call it off.
Yeah.
Or change our expectations, I suppose, and change our angle of approach. If we wanted to continue doing the podcast on the show, like we have already done, you know, we've kind of
there's one last vestige where we could retreat to, which is kind of like way back when we did the last season of 24 of Jack Bauer.
Right.
And yeah. We just fully kind of almost like engaged in light fan fiction where we just came up to, you know, like President Grandpa and, you know, we were just having fun with the characters and the absurdist situations and the melodrama, and we didn't take it serious at all.
Because the show takes it so seriously that we know it's not serious.
I care too much about like Rick, Michonne, and Carl to completely just be like,
yeah,
I think I could get there, but I'm just not there yet.
Okay. Ed from Ireland says, Negan is clearly suspicious of Eugene after Sasha's inexplicable death. Has the mulleted one finally reached the end of the road, or can he talk his way back into Negan's good graces? Do you think Eugene's going to be on the outs coming up in season 8?
I think it seems from... like I think the most interesting thing to do is just to have him be a shit weasel.
Yeah.
Have him be the hunchback of 300. Like, he's just betrayed the group, and he's going to pay a price.
Yeah.
The mullet of 300. I don't know, but it seems like from the thing Sasha said to him and how ham-fisted the show is, that they're clearly telegraphing that Eugene's going to have another redemption arc. I think it's dumb. Uh-huh. Because it's just the same thing. Father Gabriel didn't need a fucking redemption arc. His original arc was a redemption arc. We found this man and he had betrayed his whole parish.
Yeah.
And was tormented for it. I didn't need to see him shit heel turn on fucking Deanna and rat out the group. That was telling the same goddamn story. Eugene's got the same problem. How many times has he manned up and been a contributor and then he backslides? Like, and oh, Aaron, that's realistic because that's how people... Well, fuck, I mean, you know, television's not about normal people by and large. And if it is, it's a completely different type of show than The Walking Dead. So sure, yeah. I mean, he's going to have a fucking comeback and defining moment. And then a season and a half later, he might have another one. Like,
right.
That's kooky.
Yeah. My hope is that he is not going to do any of that. My hope is that he's just on board with Negan.
But it's tough because I think a part of it is the Walking Dead has a very muted emotional palette. Mm-hmm. In the real world, people can be high and people can be low. But in The Walking Dead, people can be content and grateful for the relative peace and stability, and they can be just like in unimaginable grief and pain.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of, you know, areas like you can really traumatize them or you can give them a moment of respite. And that might be one of the reasons that the long-lived characters keep flip-flopping, because there's not a lot to do between those.
Yeah.
But still, you know, that's the challenge of writing a zombie apocalypse show, I suppose.
It is.
I know
it's a pretty severe scenario.
You take the already bloated source material and you dilute the shit out of it.
That's not, that doesn't sound right.
No? No? Okay.
No, that doesn't make sense to me.
Maybe you take the slightly bloated source material and you take the best parts of it out, tell the tightest version of that story you can in a designated amount of time to tell it, and get out while the getting's good.
Sounds good. Fern says... So let's talk about how long Walking Dead can go because of the age of the actors or contracts. What if the higher-ups have a Star Trek The Next Generation format for The Walking Dead down the road? TNG went from the show then to some films to wrap things up. Do you think Walking Dead would go this direction? Maybe go two or three more seasons and say, Andy Lincoln and Chandler Riggs looking a little old now. Let's bust out a three-picture Walking Dead to wrap this up and grab as much cash as we can.
Well, that is the old way of doing things, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you get to a certain level of decrepitude, and you start doing movies. That's probably the way that it works, because it's a way to get actors reengaged. Like, hey, you'll get paid 10 times more to do 10 times less the work.
Right. You know, we can't afford to pay you the money you would charge to do this year-round, so...
Yeah, like instead of 16 hours of screen footage, we're going to get 2 hours out of you, and it's going to take 6 weeks instead of half a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's just keep making money that way. I don't know. I honestly don't know if that's something they would do, because, like, the thing is this is AMC Studios.
Yeah.
So...
American movie classics.
Right, yeah. So making their own movie, I don't know. I don't see
I think it would do... The Walking Dead a service, though, because they would have to tighten things up if they were just doing these in 2-hour chunks.
Right.
You can't make 8 movies a year.
Right.
You just can't do it. No one's going to see that many Walking Dead movies.
And you certainly can't make The Walking Dead Tara.
Right. You pay your $12.50, you sit down on your IMAX screen, and it's just Oceanside for 2 hours.
But that's the problem with the TNG movies, right? Like, fucking Deanna and Geordi and Gates Beverly Crusher. All those of y'all, if you weren't Data, Riker, or Picard, I'll throw Worf in there. If you're not Data, Picard, or Riker, you can go fuck yourselves in those movies.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, you'll get a mugging scene with Data, where you get thrown off a boat,
or you can sing some Klingon opera with him,
or maybe for Troy, you'll get a psychic rape scene.
Oh yeah, because
I'm pretty sure that's what went down with the Nemesis, right? Or not Nemesis? Nemesis?
I don't remember.
You know, with Bane. When Bane came and cyclically raped Deanna Troi. Yeah. So it's like all those B-tier characters just don't get served in those movies.
Yeah.
So.
Which is fine. That's fine if you want to do Walking Dead.
But that's the disincentive where all the other actors, like the big three, are going to get a massive payday and it's going to be awesome and everybody else gets shafted.
You only need like 2 side actors. You can craft a story.
So if you want to do that story, what I would do is I'd kill off everybody except for Michonne, Rick, and Carl.
Okay.
Like they flee from whatever, and then the movies are about them and just them.
Yeah.
Shed all the weight.
I don't know. I think it could help. John G. from Cincinnati says, I think we all agree we could have had a little less Sasha coffin time in the season finale, but we know it had to be an extra long episode, so I propose these replacement scenes for the coffin scenes. Scene 1, Carol doing picture flashcards with the tiger. This is Rick. He's okay. No arm ripping. This is Negan. Rip away, my friend. Season 2. After Sasha tells him she wants to sleep in the coffin, Negan climbs in his truck. His driver says, isn't that suspicious, her wanting to ride in the coffin? Negan replies, hell no. My dad owned a funeral home when I was a kid, and there is no better nap than a coffin nap. I'm with her on this one.
Me and Lucille are going to take up a coffin when we get back. Get on that, Dwight.
Right. Scene three. Carol sees Maggie and crew on the road, and after a round of hugs, Maggie says, I know a secret way into Alexandria through a sewer. We should be able to surprise him for sure. Carol replies, good thing. I'm guessing that Rick did something hilariously naive, which probably ended badly. And they all have a good laugh about it. And finally, scene 4, during the battle, Dwight furiously blinks Morse code to Daryl that he would leave him a message written on an army man on the ground in a random place that only he would find. Spoiler alert, this begins a secret communication between them by way of incredibly legible notes on tiny army men left in a mailbox, which leads to the Saviors being defeated kind of like a greasy-haired version of the Lake House with Daryl as Keanu and Dwight in the spunky Sandra Bullock role. Last but not least, fix the climax in one easy way. Carol is riding the tiger as it attacks.
You know, I don't know why you bothered to send the email to us. You should send this to Scott Gimple at amctv.com because, this is the kind – that's the kind of Timon and Pumbaa Power Rangers writing that would go over on this show.
Sign me up. For sure. Janet A. says, I cannot deny it. There's a place in my heart for big, dumb fun, and I have a long list of favorite guilty pleasure TV shows and movies to prove it. That being said, The Walking Dead needs to decide whether they want to be big, dumb fun or a well-written, suspenseful drama and stop insulting our intelligence.
Pick a lane, like Jim says.
Yeah, maybe I served you up a little bit of dry pie here. Sorry, Janet.
But no, I totally agree. That's the same. Like, I'm not against dumb fun. It's just got to be consistently one or the other, right?
Yeah, she says it would be amazing if it could also be big, smart fun, but she's lost faith in that at this point.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, because the other thing big, smart fun or big, dumb, smart fun, like I think of like Rick and Morty, who just came back. They had an April Fool's, you know, I think we talked about in this last episode, but whatever. It'd be interesting to see what Dan Harmon would come up with if someone gave him The Walking Dead.
Wow, I don't even know what that looks like.
It would be crazy, but like I think it's funny because he said that one of the mission statements this year for Rick and Morty was to make it Reddit proof, like that it would survive any kind of critical, like or pop, you know, like any kind of hive mind analysis that like. That's a pretty bold statement to make.
Yeah.
But I would like to see like someone with that kind of audacity to come to the zombie genre and serve up something. Big, big, smart, dumb fun.
Yeah, I feel like that's a gauntlet you just don't throw. Like, ever. But all right, sure. Sure, Harmon, go for it. Ashley says, hey, two quick corrections, FYIs, from the last podcast. Ezekiel never dropped his act with Morgan, only Carol. Because he saw that she was putting on an act too. Morgan probably knows it's a pretense, as does everyone else most likely, but it's not something that he's been explicitly expressed to.
Huh. Is that true?
I think that's true. So I had this nagging feeling that that was true, but I kind of went along with it because I wasn't sure about it.
I thought all those times where he tried to attempt to recruit Morgan that he wasn't so high English.
Oh, okay. Well... Yeah, maybe.
I mean, like I said, I'm not saying that he explicitly, there's a scene where he sits down like, this is all bullshit, let me tell you. But I'm,
right.
When I say drop the
scene.
Act, I mean he stops with the, "Very verily, this shall be a day drenched in blood." Like, you know, that yeah, he just talks like a person.
Okay. I think you're right then. I think he has dropped that act before. Yeah, he's just never said, hey,
I'd
this
be
is
open
all an
be,
act.
I'd be open to be fact checked on that, but I understood that there's a couple in his inner circle that he's a little bit more... you know, straight with.
Yeah. Secondly, the show's not created in eight episode blocks. Like most writers' rooms, they write the season all at once starting in January, and I assume they go through the summer.
Oh, there's no effing way they block out all 16 episodes. Is that a fact? Is that cited?
I don't know what her sources are. Okay. She does not cite sources, so I couldn't tell you. But she says she just thinks they have too many episodes per season and not enough story to fill them.
Well, that's...
That I agree with.
Although I don't agree with it because they have...
Well, yeah.
70-some issues of The Walking Dead?
Yeah. They don't block enough story to fill them is the yes. problem. Like, they could...
And how do they make that decision? Them. Did they... Do, like, is there a guy... Is there, like, a... Okay, we want to get five issues further into the timeline. Did they approach it like that? Because I don't understand how you cannot... Where I don't understand the rationality also for just like not just following the comic. There's a lot of things that I don't understand. But even if you're remixing, there's got to be some kind of target you're shooting for. Is it literally like AMC is like, okay, what sets do you need? You can't have them. We need to amortize another year of the Savior Complex and the Alexandria set and the Hilltop set. So,
right.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me either. So it's like, the writers would like to advance, but shit, they won't be able to get a new set until another year. So,
aren't the writers really the ones controlling this fucking thing, though? Like, can't the writers just write it and say, "Here's your season"?
Well, and then
figure it out, you
then
fucks.
The executives come back and say, "You know, you're fired. Fourth showrunner.
You're gonna fire the whole writers' room."
I mean, isn't that essentially what happened when Mizera took off?
They fired the writers' room. I thought they just replaced showrunners, but
right. But
yeah,
I mean,
totally
that's when
they
a whole
could.
Bunch of new people came on. But I don't know. I'm just saying that it feels like that. Yeah, no, you can't. You can't defy the studio. The studio sets the budget. They got the power of the purse.
Yeah, but that's like saying factory workers can't defy their bosses. Like, you unionize and you do this fucking thing, and what are they going to do?
Well, they are unionized. Right. What does it get them? I don't know. Good question. Big fat salaries. I mean, when they hit a. You know, having 17 million people watching a show.
That's true. DVD royalties, which no longer matter. Michael McBee says, what are your thoughts that Scott Gimple said the show will start moving at a faster pace starting next season?
I think that would be very responsive to fan complaints, and I think that would keep them out of a lot of trouble.
Much more moderate position than I expect you to take. I don't fucking believe it.
Well, no.
How about that?
Yeah, I'm... Yeah, if true.
Okay, there you go.
But yeah, you're right. Like, thank you for expressing that because you're right. Why would I believe that?
Yeah. He has said so much bullshit over the years. I don't believe anything he says anymore in interviews. Anyway, Kate from Australia says, I have a little tidbit of info that you guys might find amusing. In your podcast following the Rick Michonne buddy cop romance adventure, You guys spoke about the absolutely hideous CGI effects used to create the deer. You joked about whether or not the show could have splashed out for an acting deer. Then you guys questioned whether or not such a thing exists. Well, in the season premiere of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, season 6, Willow has to murder a deer to get its blood for a spell. Horrific, I know. While filming, they used an actual stunt deer. Apparently, Allison Hannigan couldn't stop crying when she had to fake murder it.
Supposedly, Jesus Christ, grow the fuck up.
Well, yeah.
It's a deer you're fake murdering. Right. Pretend style.
Supposedly, the deer was also super hard to work with. It kept wandering off and refused to hit its marks.
It's like this deer doesn't want to be murdered.
it's like this deer doesn't know that it's on screen. Come on, deer. Cooperate. So there you go. Stunt deers do exist, and The Walking Dead are just too cheap to pay for them.
Mm.
I thought that was particularly funny.
Yeah, you can't barter with the deer union. They're a lot stronger than the writers and directors, and you know you don't fuck with the deer union.
With their royalties. No.
Right.
No.
Right.
Let them have what they want.
The DU Local 501. No, you do not want to walk into that hall and say say you want a salary cut on them.
Finally, Jeremy L. has a video that he's edited together. He says, some time ago during one of the Bald Move lunches, I promised to create a video where Rick and friends try to disarm the series of homemade bombs on the highway. Needless to say, in my version, things don't go so well. Feel free to share this in the feedback this week. I'll also post a link on the forums. I don't know if he actually posted this on the forums, but...
So he did the thing that we oh,
he
yes.
did, and it's pretty good. I'm going to link it in the show notes because it's this crazy long YouTube video URL. But it's like 40 seconds or something
right on.
Long. So yeah, go click in the show notes and check that out. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It turns out better than I expected.
It's a solid idea. Solid idea executed well.
Yep. And that's it. That's all the feedback we've got. And you have any thoughts before we wrap it up for the season?
No, man. I just, I hope springs eternal, but I'm really hoping personally the All Out War is concluded in the next 8 episodes.
Please.
If it's not, then it's like, it's one of those things where it's like you get it either 6 weeks early spring or 6 weeks more winter. Like, we'll have, if they do not finish All Out War in the next 8 episodes, then there will be at least 6 filler episodes next season.
Yeah.
Which,
and we'll know that Gimple was not
being
honest,
right,
when he said things are moving faster,
right? And if you know, like, to the extent that you haven't started writing this yet, Gimple, we don't care about the trash people.
No,
I don't even need to really see them avenged. Like,
if Rick,
I just need to throw a lines like, you know, we went back to the trash, they'd all just ran off like cowards.
Yeah,
we'll never see him again.
Took your guns.
They wrote a big, long note to me, said they took off and they're afraid.
And actually, it wasn't that long. It just said, afraid, took off.
We go.
Afraid, we go.
We go. We go, not bother.
No.
And that's all I need. That's all I need. Okay. That they were handled, and they're long, and I don't care. I don't need to see their background.
Okay.
Heath has escaped the show's orbit. He's happier on the revamp 24. Let him go. Eugene dies the bad guy.
Yeah.
It's too late to die as the hero. He's lived too long. It's time to be the bad guy.
I agree.
Eugene, bad guy. Rosita, die.
Yep.
Because I don't really want to see your goddamn redemption arc.
No, and I definitely don't want her to go rogue again.
Nope.
I just want her
like
to be murdered.
Maggie, President of the Hilltop, or Supreme Commander of the Hilltop, totally in on.
Yep.
You know, more CGI tigers ripping people apart.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Got to see it.
Backseat Gregory.
You know what?
Sure, he shows up at the Savior compound, but backseat him.
Gregory got Cal alone on the road and confessed his love for them, and Cal completely reciprocated, and they just went off to the west.
Yep.
They rode off into the literal sunset. Don't need to see him again.
Nope.
You know, more Rick and Michonne and Carl. There you go.
All right.
More Enid and Carl.
Uh-huh.
No more new characters. Father Gabriel,
keep the guns out of his hands.
Turns out, Gregory and Cal adopted Father Gabriel as their son.
Yep,
and everyone's really happy with that. And he's going to go off west too. And there you go.
Michonne admits she was never going to hit that shot.
Yeah,
if she took it.
I'm not even going to try to be the group sniper anymore because this is ridiculous.
And that's it. That's a perfect season 8.
Yeah.
That's my ideal season 8.
And Rick mounts Negan's head on a spike.
Yeah. And Carol rides a tiger.
Carol rides a tiger. And what's Daryl do? We left Daryl out of the equation.
He dies.
Daryl dies?
Yeah. Daryl's outlived his character arc.
Aaron's boyfriend, Eric, dies in the all-out war. Next season's too soon. Uh-huh. The season 9 is going to be the romance of Daryl and Aaron.
All right. I like it.
All right. That's you can take that arc to the bank. Deposit it. Start earning interest.
We're going to do that in the off season. So thanks, everybody, who joined us through this season. We'll come back to a hopefully much faster-paced and improved Walking Dead next
leaner,
season.
Meaner.
Yeah. I somehow doubt it, but we'll see how it goes. And, you know, in the off season, we have a lot of other shows that we're doing. You don't just have to stick with Walking Dead. We've got Fargo coming back very soon. Better Call Saul just started. The Leftovers is about to start. All those we're covering.
A little show called Game of Thrones.
That'll be back before Walking Dead is, yeah.
Yeah, July.
Yeah.
Stranger Things season 2, hopefully. Lots.
That's coming out on Halloween. So
oh, it's going to be the same time as Game of Dead.
Game of
Walking
Dead.
Thrones. Uh-huh. Yeah, that'll be exciting. It's a great time of year to release it, too.
Yeah, if you want to check out all the stuff we do, it's baldmove.com. Go there and check out all the other shows we've got because we have a ton of them. And until next season, I'll see ya.
See ya.